Say, neighbor, I'm glad to be in the house of God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Anybody feel like blessing the Lord's name in the house today? Do you feel like, because of your personal relationship with the Lord, that you just want to bless his name today? Because his name means so much. My, it's all right. You know, my brothers and sisters, it is not easy for us to live for the Lord. Can we get real? Because we are living in a world whose God of the system is Satan. And he doesn't care anything about you or about me. And also, if I could set this up a little bit, we are living in the temporal down here. After we get saved, we're still living down here. And we are up against everything everybody else is up against. But yet, living here as a believer, God expects us to glorify his name. And yet there's a pull from the flesh, the world, and the enemy for us to do the opposite. And many times we do the opposite because pressure has a way of shaping and molding you. And if you and I are not careful, we will conform to this world. Be not conformed, but we can. So it's not easy. And for someone to say that it's easy, it may be easy if you're not under no pressure. You see, things are easy for us to do when you're not under no pressure. But when you are carrying a load of pressure, it may be economical pressure. It may be illness or sickness. It just may be mental, physical, these things that may hinder us from doing what we think we need to do or ought to do, and yet God expects us to live for him when you're born again. And I know, well, somebody say, well, you know, God have given us the Holy Spirit. Yes, he has. And that is our power. And he said, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Be controlled, led by the Holy Spirit that you will glorify God in all you do and say. But he also said there's another enemy called the flesh that's fighting the Spirit of God on our behalf. Because what the flesh wants to do is to dictate our life, to control our lives, that we will lean to our flesh and not lean on or to the Holy Spirit. Not giving him the right of way. Just because you got the Holy Spirit, don't tell me you can't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me you can't lie to the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me we always obey the Holy Spirit. I've heard too many testimonies from people who did not obey the Holy Spirit and say, you know what, the Holy Spirit told me not to do that, but I did it anyway. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on now, we're in the house of God. I'm just being honest. It's not easy living for the Lord. You know, somebody says, oh, the preacher's saying that. I'm saying what's true. It ain't easy for me living for the Lord. Now, once the flesh is gone and I get my new glorified body and I'm placed in a place where there is no sin, where flesh and blood didn't enter in, huh? easy then. But I'm not talking about then. I'm talking about right now. Paul knew it was not easy. That's why I want to encourage you today and not act like it's easy, but just try to give you a word of encouragement. Is that all right? The same thing that Paul gave to the church at Thessalonica, he wanted to encourage them, baby. And it's just so beautiful. And so the title of my message is Three Encouragements, 2 Thessalonians 1 through 12. That's to be where we'll be coming from. But I want to say this. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:12 states, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You see that? So the Bible backs up what I was saying. Say, now, if you choose to live for the Lord, you're going to be persecuted for it. That's that pressure I'm talking about. And that pressure comes to try to stop you from being what God wants you to be. Huh? So God didn't say, well, if you live for me, you're going to walk through the roses and walk through the tulips and every day going to be a sunny day. Every day going to be a day of accomplishment and success. No, that's not what the word of God said. He said, so now I want you to live for me. I want you to glorify me with your life. But let me tell you something. Once you decide and make up your mind, for God I live, for God I'll die. When you make up your mind to do that, look out, persecution is right around the corner. You know, is that God, why would you tell me that? You tell me to live for you. You tell me to mimic Christ. Act like him. Then you tell me if I act like him, there's persecution. You're going to suffer it. Huh? I'm just trying to bring out a few things. So when I speak something, I want to try to back it up with the word of God. That ain't easy. Okay. Man, I tell you, it's just the word of God is just sweet to me. Just the little nuggets, you know, as you look at it. But here's another place. The opposition is there to make it not easy. But here's the good thing. When you decide to live for God, understanding what the scriptures say about the pressure that's going to come against you, but you still make up your mind, pressure come hell or high water, I'm still going to live for the Lord. I may fall down, I get back up in his grace, I'm going to still live. I may miss the mark today, and I may have to pick it back up on tomorrow, but devil, I'm going to live for the Lord. If I fall down, I'm going to fall down in the Lord, but I'm going to get back up. I'm not going to stay away from the house of God. I'm not going to stay away from the word of God, because God, you already said, it's not easy, but that's not going to scare me away, because I've been born again. I have a new nature. I have a new power. I have a new destiny. See, one of the things that we're up against, our folk around us that's in the world and of the world, they're not born again yet. All they have is the now. You see, and so they live for now. Get all the money, all of everything, gain the whole world right now, because I don't know about later. I don't know. Y'all talk that pie in the sky. I got to get my pie on the table. Are you with me, somebody? But we are to know that we got a future hope. And we got to live down here knowing all of our rewards and blessings and crowns not going to come here. But some going to be in eternity. Some is waiting on us. And you really don't even know who you are right now. But when Christ appear, oh man, oh somebody talk to me. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And all I'm trying to do is just tell the truth about this thing. Because many times we get on folk because they don't live for the Lord and they may be saved, they're struggling and things. You don't want them to be in that state. But at the same time, you need to tell them the reality of what the Word of God says. You tell me if I live for you, God, you're going to suffer. Well, God, why do you say that? I was going to try it till you put. But look at this. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. See, this world, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. In that spiritual realm, Satan have his demons. They got different ranks, and God is permitting them to do their thing. But I like the Word of God, because the Word of God exposed Satan and his power, and also he exposed our protection. You know, when you read on, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand and withstand. You see, you can't. If you don't withstand, you ain't going to stand. You see, if the fiery darts can get in, they're going to take you out, your testimony. Come on, somebody. Your walk may take out your family. But God says, when you put up the shield of faith and all these things, they're for your protection. You see, He didn't say the fiery dart's not going to come just because you are saved. He said they're going to come because you are saved, but there's some protection where you need to put it up. You need to robe yourself in the whole armor of God that you can withstand, and then you'll stand. See, some ain't standing because they ain't withstanding. But let's go. These three encouragement is the encouragement of praise, the encouragement of promise, and the encouragement of prayer. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church at Thessalonica, of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In his greetings and his salutation, what you want to look at, you want to see how he put God the Father and Jesus Christ right there together. He's doing that also to let you know the deity of Jesus Christ. You see, because Jesus Christ is indeed God. No ifs, no ands. Now, John 1:14 show you the transition, and that's called his incarnation, which means enfleshment, when he put on flesh. But he never stopped being God. Now, when someone confused, say, well, I can read and show that he is subordinate to God. Well, here it is now. I am subordinate to my sister because she outranked me. Okay, but we are the same essence. You are subordinate to your superior officer, but you're just as much man as he is. But that position he holds. You see, Christ humbled himself when he took on the form of a man, because that form is under God, because God created man in his image. But he never ceased from being God. The Bible called him God-man. The God-man. You see, he didn't become God. He became man. He always was God. Always will be God. But he won't always man. It was a due date, Galatians told us. Come on, somebody. Can y'all help me? That's it, Eddie, sister. See, God promised the incarnation. God has promised you some things. I like this. And I want to encourage your heart today, because some of those things that God promised you, it has a due date. And the due date just have not come as of yet. That's all. See, because God is the best promise keeper. Let me tell you how great a promise keeper God is. Anything that God promised you. Now make sure there was no prerequisite there when he promised you that. But anything God promised you, even if there was a prerequisite there and you met that prerequisite, guess what? You're going to get it. I can't tell you when. I can't tell you how. But I know he got to keep his promise. Ain't no ifs, ands about it. Why you say that? If he don't keep his promise, he's a lying God. And God cannot lie. Matter of fact, he's not the author of a lie. Satan is the author of the lie. But I got to trust and believe his promise. Even when he tells me, if you live for me, you're going to suffer persecution. I don't know about you. I don't like to suffer. Anybody here love suffering? Don't say that. Please don't say that. Don't do that to yourself. Whew, I could get rid of some of these ailments I got. But I tried to move on in spite of. If God said, I'm going to leave him there, okay, God, that's your business. But it'd be all right with me if you take him away. I know I got on to his dear. So let's look at 3 to 4 as Paul speaks to the church. We're going to look at his encouragement to the Thessalonica. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because of your faith grows exceedingly. Let me see. Let me tell you something. It's all right. And we ought to. We just ought to give glory and praise folk. Give them a word of encouragement when you see them growing. I don't care if they ain't full grown. You follow what I'm saying? Are they not mature as what you think they are? But you see, you got to look back on yesterday. And you got to see where they were. And knowing they're taking one step at a time. And then you got to remember where they were. And you are asking for that step. God, just let them step forward. Now that ain't all the way to the finish line. But God, I just want to see them take one. And when they take it, praise them. You see, it's encouragement. And Paul is saying, I see you're growing. Many times we see people grow all around us, been with us growing. And like I said, not perfect, but they're at least growing. They have moved from where they were. Because you can see where they were, they didn't want no parts of God. But they're not there anymore. But Paul says, I just want to encourage you. I know one of Paula's Jones' favorite word, be encouraged. And as I was coming in, because I was preaching it today, I said, that is you. And that's one of your favorite words, be encouraged. And some of us know that Paula would always send you a word or a text or something. And many times that thing come at the right time for Pastor. I said, whoa! And you know, let me tell you something else too. When a person have a habit of encouraging you and you know them and they have been a blessing in encouraging you, I'm going to tell you, you start looking for it when you are down, when you're going through something, when you at the end of your rope, when you say, this is, Lord, it's getting heavy on me, Lord. I mean, hey, this is me and you now. I'm not talking to people. I'm talking with you, Lord, and I need some strength. And sometimes there's no audible voice from God. It just may be a text, say, be encouraged. And then the problem is, how do you know I'm not encouraged? Who told you? Huh? Right here. He's encouraging these folks. Okay? And here's the thing. He's encouraging them. There's four things. He is encouraging them for their faith was growing. And then when you read on, their love was abounding and their patience increasing. And their testimony was helping others. Let me tell you something. Your testimony can help somebody else. See, your testimony shouldn't be a selfish testimony when you're in the family of God. We are helpers of one another. And God said we ought to love one another. And we ought to bless one another, especially the household of God. Put emphasis on that. But here's the point. If I don't have the proper thinking, I see all that, it doesn't matter to me. I'm one track, boom, locked in one track. No, I'm not one track when the Bible shows me various things. And then it becomes a blessing when you say, Lord, I didn't pay that too much attention. I was wrapped up right here. But now that I see this, this is very important. Paul thought it very important to write to this church and let them know that we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting. Because something is taking place, your faith grows exceedingly. Not only your faith is growing, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Are we loving each other? Don't tell me you love somebody you don't even love each other. You see, Paul is saying, seeing the Christian attitude of loving his brethren and sisters is praiseworthy. So many people feel, I'm not to do that. No. Read your Bible and rightly handle your Bible. And you'll see something. Because I'm going to tell you the purpose of this. The purpose of encouragement to keep you doing what God wants you to do. Because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of time, it's only encouragement to have some of us getting up another day. Let me tell you something. In this pulpit, and I've been preaching for a few years now, not just pastoring about 28, and been preaching longer than that as associate at Calvary. But I know without the encouragement of many of people over those years, I wouldn't be standing here today. Because even when I didn't want to go on anymore, they were going on anyway. And here's the thing, when you're the pastor, and you don't want to go, and them folk with you going on anyway. Let me tell you a little something about that. I mean, they coming to church anyway. Now, what are you going to do? You going to stay home? Bro Weaver, Ashburn, Sister Hardy, all of them going to glory. They coming. Rick, I'm. I'll be there. Encouragement. But those that encourage you, when it comes to a point, they're no longer encouraging you. Nobody is encouraged. All of us gonna stay home. So it's very important. So you just keep right on, Sister Paul, and all your other people who encourage folk, and you guys who have never encouraged anybody or don't even think it's important, let this message encourage your heart just to encourage somebody. Sometimes the children need encouragement. They say, hey, they're up there singing their little hearts out, and they could be out in the street doing some crazy stuff. Encourage them. You know, sometimes just stand up and clap. Well, that's not me. Just do it in a way. And you don't know what you'll do for some people. Watch this now. I know they don't normally do that, but they did that for me. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm just talking about encouragement, y'all. Mr. Hebrew stood up and clapped for me. He don't normally do that. Ooh, they're hitting one another. My granddaughter's talking. Who? And what? They're encouraged. I'm going to sing next week so she can get him to stand. Get Paul to talk about me. How many like? Not only like, I need encouragement. You need some encouragement this morning? I'm just trying to encourage your heart. So y'all help me. He says, so we see in these areas he saw it and he began to encourage them. He says, so that we are ourselves, look at this now, boast of you. You know how people, you know, sometimes that's why I say you gotta watch in completeness and wholeness when you see one passage of scripture and then you cut it off from everything you have not seen or rightly handled. You know, we ought to boast in the Lord, right? That we know the Lord, right? Come on, somebody. Ain't no trick question. But right here, he's boasting in God's people here. You follow what I'm saying? See, he's boasting about their testimony. That's what he's doing. He's praising them about their testimony. So don't get so super spiritual, you damaging the house of God. You don't mean to, because you want to be correct. You don't mean to, by no means. But you said something in absolute, which was not absolute. It was per precept, per statement, per chapter, per whatever situation was going on and subject matter that was being attained to at that time. That's what you saw. Because if not, you'll see this and you will not hold it dear to your heart. And you, every now and then when you see somebody under persecution, but they're hanging in there. One of my preacher's friends, he said, man, you done preached over, you've been pastoring over 20 years. He crazy though. He said, you know, that's life in prison. 20 years, life in prison. You done life in that church. And he pastoring too. He's just a joker like that. He pastoring right here in Portsmouth too. I said, man, you crazy. He said, I'm serious, 20 years, life, man. I think he done life too, because I think he got about 20. But we just encourage one another. You know what I mean? We encourage one another from that standpoint. Because sometimes I just walk down into a church. You say, man, I'm about to just walk away. You ain't going nowhere, man. Just go right back in them books and go and do what you got to do. I'm going to encourage you to stay because I got to stay. We going to both stay. Amen. And we can joke around like that, but he won't go nowhere, no way. But it's just things that we say that. So here we see that their faith was growing, their love was abounding, their patience increasing, and their testimony was helping somebody else. And right here, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God. See this, when you are living for God, it's okay for somebody to tell another church or other people that they meet, say, you know what, man, they're under pressure. But you know what? They're still living for the Lord. They should have given up, but they're still living for the Lord. It looked like they were down for the third count, but guess what? Look at them now. They're doing better than they was during that time because they trusted God even when it looked like there was no hope. They knew their hope just won't end this world. They got eternal hope in Jesus. Their hope is in a person, and his name is Jesus. Oh, how they doing now? I knew they were going through something. You need to see them now. Huh? You ought to see them now. And even when they were going through what they were going through, they were still praying. They were still in that word. They were still having their devotion. It won't easy. They didn't all of a sudden get well. But it was a peace that surpassed all understanding. When the Prince of Peace see that in spite of what you're going through, you're trusting me. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Though I may not get the things that I desire right now, I know what you promised me. If it's not here, it's going to be in eternity. So if you see somebody's faith growing, it's all right. And it's all right to tell somebody, because people will ask about you. Many people ask me, so-and-so still with you, how they're doing? Oh, they're doing fine. Just want to encourage you. So Sister Dana, when your mama talk about you, all right, we all know what you're going through. And I always say you and Darlene are the strongest women I've seen in my life. My two nieces, they're the strongest I've ever seen. But then you're finishing college. Ah, Lord have mercy. And seeing what God has brought you from, I can't help but say hallelujah. Not afraid to come to church. I know you don't dot every I or cross every T, but none of us do neither. But what I'm saying, you got to come where you can hear the word. Because God says faith comes by hearing. If I want a strong faith, I got to hear a strong word. Don't ask me to believe what I'm not hearing. Let me at least hear it, then I believe whether I'm a believer or not. Come under the umbrella. So I'm just praying you came through the door. Turn this thing around. Because God know the heart, don't he? I don't know nobody's motives. You don't neither. Don't come talking about you. I know you don't know. No, you don't know your own heart. You don't know nobody's heart, nobody's motives. But let's move on. 5 through 10, we're going to see the encouragement of promise. You remember I told you we're living down here, but we got a promise. Hold your finger right here. I mean, we'll come back here, but I think I want to read this. I just wanted to, let's go over to John, the Gospel of John. Y'all love the word? The Gospel of John 14. That's a familiar passage, and a lot of times you heard that at funerals. But this ain't just about no funeral. John 14. Now, you're living down here. He's about to leave, and his disciples are upset. Peter's upset and all this, and you can't go right now, Peter. But in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." You see, he is saying, down here, I'm leaving, but you can't, Peter, you guys, you can't go now. And I know you're going to be under persecution, that your master have gone now. But you got a job to do. You got a job to do on earth. You got to spread this gospel. Huh? You got all this work to do. And yet I'm going to glory and going to be seated on the right hand of the Father. I got work to do interceding for you. So he said, "But I'm coming back." See, we don't only have things on this earth during this time, during the temporary time. We got hope and glory. So God don't have to give us everything right now, because we're going to be with him forever. Forever, 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 forever. Amen. So you're dealing with this here, living for the Lord, not getting everything that you figure you want material-wise. But let me tell you something. You got something far greater than material things. God is not even trying to lavish you with everything. He know what we stand in need of. Why he said, what? Profit a man to gain the world, get everything, then you lose your soul. He said the profit, the prosperity is in gaining heaven. The true gold and silver, whatever's precious to you, it should be in eternity. So he said, because even your suffering can't compare with the glory of tomorrow. So Paul understood that they withstood the suffering and the persecution, and he praised them because he knew that it hurt. But let me encourage you, you're bringing glory to God. Five, he says, four, he says, among the churches of God, for your patience and your faith in all your what? Persecution and tribulation. That you what? Endure. Persevere. Persevere. Some of us have been persevering. You know, you got some people, they're sick, but they don't complain a lot. And they're going through a lot. But they don't use a lot of their energy complaining. And you wouldn't even know how bad off they are. Because, you know, is it that they know that a new body is already waiting for me? And do they know that my strength is of the Lord? And if he decide not to answer my prayer to heal me here and now, I will be healed, but it may not just be here and now. Because where he is, he said he's coming back, didn't he? He says he's preparing a place for me. Not a place for himself, but a place for me and a place for you. So all the churches should know about your testimony of what you're going through, but you endure. You know, some of us, we need to hang in there. I want to encourage you, don't drop out. Don't run away. I don't care if you got a struggle, hang in there. Don't know what you're going through. Don't have to know what you're going through. I'm just preaching this Bible. And it's better that I don't know, but just preach the word of God, because it has a way to cut through your body, cut through the bone, cut through the marrow inside of the bone, and understand the intents of your heart. The word of God can do that and even more. So it ain't about what I know, it's what the word of God know about all of us. So we gotta stay with the book. Now we go to five, we're going to look at the praise. He says, now, which is manifest evident of righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Man, the way you going and you guys are persevering, you know, you just showing your worthiness of the kingdom of God. For which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. You see, God's going to do the recompensing. God is going to repay. You remember in, what is it, Romans 12? He said, don't be overcome of evil. You overcome evil with good. Guys, don't avenge yourself. He says, vengeance is mine. Oh, my. So he says, you being persecuted, but don't worry about it. You know, he had to get Asaph in Psalm 73. He had to get him straight, didn't he? Don't worry about it. Seeing like everything they touch turn to gold, huh? But you look at their end. See, some things that they will mess you up down here in these 2-3 days you got to live and not living for the Lord and not sending no timber up. Send something worthy of a crown. Come on, somebody. Oh, my. I don't have nothing but the word. I'm sorry. I'm not good enough to make up stuff like a lot of people. They can. I just can't do that. I don't know how to do that. So I got to hit the, I got to spawn on. Some people gifted like that. I'm not gifted like that, okay? Will you forgive me? Since it is a righteous thing with who? God to repay. I'm going to be righteous about it too, but I'm going to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. So don't think folk getting away. You can try to live godly and they messing with you and fight you and want to call you all kind of name and then don't end up, don't get saved. Woo, woo. He says, and to give you who are troubled rest. There's two things there. He said, I know how to give you rest and I know how to give them trouble. That is right here. I'm just putting it. Wait a minute. See, when you under tribulation, you can be restless. Because I'm going through right now. But did you know, Brother Dave, your God say right here in the word, I know how to get Dave rest. And those who trouble him, I know how to recompense to them tribulation. So hang in there. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. And to give you who are troubled rest with us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. Ooh, that's why we want people to get saved. You can sit and be cute, be crazy, anything you want to be, but God is speaking about those who don't know him and you end up dying, falling out, hit by a car, and all of a sudden you are dead. And you decide, I'm going to wing it. I'm not going to worry about that church thing or getting saved. Forget the church thing, but you need to be born again. And if you don't know how to do it, I will lead you to the Lord biblically. Some other folk would do it biblically. So you can say, according to the Bible, according to the word of God, I am saved. Now, you can take your chance if you want to. Guess what, preacher? I'm not going to take my chance. When God spoke to my heart over 30-some years ago, I humbled my heart. Said, God, I'm not saved. I'm not going to play no games. No, because this thing is personal. And I bowed down in my dining room. And I asked the Lord to save me. And he came into my life, and I've never been the same since that day. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. Anybody here, you know, you don't know God in a personal way? I'm not talking about you know of God. See, knowing of somebody don't mean you know him. See, I know of Trump, but I don't know Trump. I know of President Obama, but I don't know him. But I know Jesus. I got a personal relationship with him. And I've seen him work in my life abundantly, over and over again. I've seen him work when I didn't even feel like working. He worked anyway. I've seen God work when I want to stop and he start, and I know he's working on my behalf and I know it and I stop to like running behind grab it. I'm going with this because God, no, I see what you're doing. I've stopped but you still working because that's what you want it done. But you want me to participate because this is what I should be doing, so you jump right on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to express it the best way I can. And on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, if you're obeying another gospel of another faith, forget that. We're talking about obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul says, if anyone, an angel, anyone, an apostle, whoever you are, if you preach another gospel, be anathema, be cursed. That's how serious it is. These other guys, it's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All of them are the same. It's only one. one Lord, that's Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in the day of the Lord, judgment, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe. Now, you can say you know believer, but you stay over there. See, the one thing that a lot of unbelievers, Brother Hebrew, don't understand. See, this is one thing, See, it's one thing, you're an unbeliever and you boasting and all that crazy mess. You forget those who are believers, they was once a non-believer. So you can't, see, here's the difference. You can't tell them, come here, I'm going to pull a Lamont. You come stand right here. If I get down, it's too hard for me to get back up. If this guy is an unbeliever, never been saved, smart guy, prosperous, God is working. God's grace is helping him out. He's just doing fine, but he's not saved. Now, I used to be what he was, but then I humbled my heart when I heard the cry from the word of God, when I heard that gospel that we don't supposed to turn away from, I embraced it and I became a new person. So now I know how he lived, how he think, because that was me. Such were some of us. Corinthians tells us. Now, if I'm smart, I'm saying, wait a minute, that's right. Because sometimes folk will tell you what you used to do. Come on, you worse than me. Don't come tell me about that, you all on me. Look what you done, I ain't never done that. Come on, somebody, can we get real in the house? But what they don't realize, when they're saying, yeah, I know what you did, I heard your history, you was a rooting, tooting, and shooting. But that was yesterday. Just like you knew about me yesterday, do you know about me today? Tell me about glory. Tell me about deliverance. Tell me about spiritual freedom that I have. Tell me about my hope. You can tell me about my past. Why can't you tell me about my present? Tell me about my future. You see, God told me not to be worrying myself to death. Let not my heart be troubled, because I believe in God. Christ said, believe in me. When that gospel came to me, I embraced it. So therefore, you tell me what I used to be, but tell me who I am. There's a change have come in my life. If any man be in Christ, he ain't the same. He's a brand spanking new creation. It's amazing they can tell you about the past, but they can't tell me about my future. Let me go on and finish. Did I get down to 10? Okay, the last one. He encouragement of praise. It's all right to praise some folk, man. Come on. Sometimes they need it. And sometimes you don't even know when you encourage people like that. Because when people are about to give a damn, I said, don't tell you. They'll walk around like everything's okay. And suddenly folk about to commit suicide. And you say, well, I just talked to him. Yeah. But every now and then, just tell somebody. How about hang in there, man? Hang in there. I tell you, it was a blessing and an encouragement. And Sister Maggie encouraged me the other day. I was out here talking to Shane and Tata Annie about marriage, and my wife didn't necessarily want to be sitting around. I was thinking, who could I call? Because I need to do this. And yet, my first ministry is my wife. It will always be. So I say, Maggie. So I call Maggie. I say, Maggie, you come with wife because she don't want to sit here. And Maggie put her clothes on and came and got her and took her with her. And so I was free. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That was encouragement. That encouraged me to do my job. You follow what I'm saying? Don't tell me to do my job and you won't help me. You see me drowning and you won't throw me a line. But you... Let me stay right here. Preach the word, God. It ain't easy. But we can glorify God. Amen. Hang in there. Be encouraged. And feel, if you have not been encouraging people, why don't you start after this message? Like Paul did with the church. I thank God for New Berean. I really do. Y'all guys, you guys are something else. So come on, Pastor. Go ahead and finish up. We got two more verses, right? I stopped at 10. I finished 10, didn't I? Okay. Okay, June. I hear you over there. okay. 11 and 12. Okay, come on. Come on. All right, so y'all can get the golden crayon. Therefore, now you've had all that preaching, you saw the word of God and everything that preceded this. Now you come here. Therefore, we also pray. See, he didn't only praise. He didn't only tell you about your promise, but he said, I pray. He said, I pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with power. That the name, now it ain't all about you now. But I want this because you are on display. You manifest the goodness of God. You manifest a new life that God has given you to possess for his glory. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be what? Glorified in you. Now look at this. I want to pause right here just before I finish. Christ was to glorify the Father, and we are to glorify Christ. John 17, he spoke that I have glorified you here on earth. Now give me back my glory. Are you with me? But here, we see that we are to live lives that glorify our Savior. So when people ask you, yeah, you know what I used to be. You know what I used to do. Hey, I'm not denying it, but watch me now. Have you been watching me lately? Not perfect, but not all them things that you said I was about yesterday. Well, why you want to live the way you're living now and not like you did yesterday? With all the pressure on, don't nobody care about no Jesus. Everybody, we want to be like everybody else. See, my life is not my own anymore. I am purchased with a price. And that price was the blood of the Lamb, the precious Lamb of God. And I want to live my life that I may glorify Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's concern for them was their worthiness, their walk, and their witness.